What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
All right, so when you got an elite NBA player, elite player in any sport, that might suddenly be available or more available now than ever, you inquire if it makes sense for you. You start thinking about it, and I would imagine that Trajan Langdon and the powers that be down there at LCA or the Pistons practice facility are having discussions about whether or not they should go after Giannis Antetokounmpo after last night's blow up with the fans in Milwaukee, a Milwaukee Bucks team that is now in a 17-23 team. They have lost 3 of 4. Giannis is still a 30-point per game player, $55 million player who's under contract this year and next year. And you'd have to move a lot of the roster in the core to get him, right? And then the question becomes, is it worth it? Is it worth it to basically go back to square one as to who are we? Because Cade and Giannis together sounds great with filling in other parts. You know, suddenly you might have a greater role for Ron Holland. Does Beef Stew become a starter, you know, that he's going to be expected to do more? Do you have to give up Durin or Assar? With Ivy and multiple first round picks and Tobias. Now you've completely reinvented who you are. You don't know who you are, but you got Cade and Giannis together. Now the job isn't to collect superstar players. The job is to win the NBA title. There is a formula that says, though, you have to collect superstar players to win the NBA title. Except it feels like if you're the Pistons. Now the Pistons had Isaiah Thomas, and the going to work Pistons never really had an established superstar, an elite level superstar. They had a bunch of great players, but never anybody that would have been on the cover of NBA 2K, right?
No. And that's one of the great appeals of that team is it was you look at the word team in the dictionary, it'll show the going to work Pistons.
Yep.
Everybody had their role. They pulled their own weight. They supported each other. There was no barking or finger pointing going on. Those guys all did what they had to do, and it was a phenomenal way of getting things across, and it was not the NBA way, and it is not the NBA way now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's totally unique and totally different.
248-539-9797. Is it something that you would pursue? Feedback coming in. Hard pass getting this team, gutting this team for the sake of having two stars. That's from an unnamed texter.
Well, it's two superstars. Different than having stars. I mean, Giannis is on a whole other level.
Yep.
And Cade is getting to that level. And when you look at teams that win the NBA championship, they have guys like that. Are the Pistons building to that? I mean, I think Durin is a ways away from becoming a superstar, but is he the most likely next superstar on the Pistons?
Probably. Some people would argue Assar. I know we got that Ron Holland cult out there, the people.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are great, but how many times have we seen those guys go off for 30-10?
Yeah, right.
You just don't.
Regularly.
Yeah, and I mean, Durin's able to get there,
yep,
but we haven't seen those guys do it.
The amount it would take to get him, it would leave this team pretty much only him and Cade and a bunch of random role players. Anyone else of substance would be included in that trade. That's from an unnamed texter.
But be interesting to see, and look, just for the sake of argument and thinking about it, of what other players then get an opportunity to play because everybody else has been traded. Mm-hmm. You know, people that are in the Mackey, the Sasserkamp, I'm Mackey Sasserkamp, I went baseball. But people are in the Sasserkamp, or people that are in the Jenkins camp, or anybody else that you want to see more of. You know, okay, they get that chance. How good are they really? You know, when the roles have changed and now you're getting 25, 30 minutes a game as opposed to getting 10 or 15.
Yeah, I mean, you'd get to see your guy if you're in that camp.
You want more Jonte Green, Javonte Green?
At this point, no. I think he's being used perfectly. And, you know, as I predicted from day one, I think he's being used perfectly. And, you know, it doesn't feel like a team that's not getting the most out of its roster. That's one of the most likable things about it. But the question is the most out of its roster enough to cut down nets? Let's see. What else do we got here coming in to the inbox? There's no trades that really interest me for the Pistons. I think they're all set, honestly. But if Giannis Antetokounmpo is available and the Pistons are able to acquire him somehow while keeping the core intact, do it immediately. So if you can get him without gutting your team, do it immediately.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to give something to get something. You can't just... I guess it depends on what you think your core is. You know, if you could, let's say, for instance, you take, who do you want to take off the table? Jalen Duren or Asar Thompson? Who do you want to take off the table?
Duren.
Okay. So can you get a deal done while offering Asar Thompson, Ron Holland, Jaden Ivey, and picks, and Tobias Harris?
I mean, what you've done there is basically say, have our wings.
Right.
All of them. All of our young wings.
You can have anybody you want, just not Cade Cunningham and Jalen Duren. Is that effectively what you're saying?
Kind of.
I mean, yeah, if Duren's off the table and I get to keep Duren, I'm seriously weighing this out. Like, Giannis is, he's in the prime of his career. Have you seen what he's done the last few years? This guy doesn't stop. 29-30 a game every night. He's physical. The main thing about him, though, unfortunately, with the Pistons, he doesn't shoot the three. And they are looking for a three-point shooter outside of Duncan Robinson right now, and Giannis does not provide that at all. But if I get to keep Duren, keep Cade, I have Giannis, that's my big three. And, of course, you're losing some of the young guys, but then that's where the other guys step up, right?
It's gone.
Chaz Lanier, let's see what you got.
His relationship.
Tolu Smith, hello. Tatum Akins, welcome to the NBA.
His relationship with the fans in Milwaukee has gone from bad to worse in the last 24 hours. Do you try to get involved if you're Trajan Langdon? With a young team like the Pistons, you don't fast track a young team to skip steps, especially when you still don't know what you have yet. MPJ is much cheaper, meaning Michael Porter Jr. Yes, he is. And that talk is starting to heat up, by the way.
Yeah, and that talk is going to have a lot of teams interested because he puts up great numbers, and the Pistons would not be the only suitor for that player.
Yeah, because his contract's only like two more years too, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like a long, long-term hold on him.
Yeah, for the rest of this year and all of next year, if I'm not mistaken.
We have superstars. Y'all just ain't realized it yet. Like Golden State, leave them alone. That is the Pistons. It's from an unnamed texter.
Well, who?
I mean, do they have potential superstars? We have acknowledged that.
I think it's potential players. I don't look at Asar Thompson and say that's a potential superstar.
Well, I think Jalen Duren could be, but
Duren might be.
So, but he says y'all have them. You think they currently have multiple superstars in their current what they are right now? Or do you? Now let's be clear here, because we've acknowledged that they've got guys that could be superstars. But he's saying we haven't realized it yet.
Yeah, the big thing with this whole discussion is that if you were to make the deal, any deal with Milwaukee to acquire Giannis, if you do that, your team is completely different. It's not Pistons basketball as we've become accustomed to it this year. It's not. It's because you've gotten rid of so many in the cast of characters, so many guys of the culture who bought into it to turn this thing around, to go from the laughingstock of the NBA to being respectable last year. With trying to make a playoff run and actually getting to the playoffs to this year, where now you're the leader in the Eastern Conference. That's a nice trajectory. Like there's a huge part of me, the majority of me actually, that says I'm not rocking the boat here. I'm not going to make a move to totally displace where this team is at right now. You may end up and maybe you end up regretting it because Giannis is a superstar, and some people are saying, dude, you got to go for it with that. Okay, I got it. But the other thing is, the way this team is set up right now, they could win 60 games. And if I just add a piece like Michael Porter Jr. that doesn't cost me near as much as what Giannis would cost me, I can still keep the culture of this team, the culture fit of this team, and I'm adding a guy who scores, you know, 25, 27 points a game.
Speaking of Michael Porter Jr., there is fresh reporting on the possibility of him being dealt. And yeah, Detroit's name is included in all said reporting. We'll get to that today at 11:24.
We have fresh Shams?
It's not Shams. No, it's not fresh Shams. I wish it was fresh Shams, but we have fresh Jake Fisher. And
not fresh Mel. We know it's not fresh. Fresh
Evan Sidery.
Oh.
We'll get to that today at 11:24 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Doug Carson, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Fun with Vegas odds in the noon hour. Got things that all have the same odds. Which would you play if forced to? 248-539-9797. We go to Irving in Ann Arbor on 97.1. What's up, Irving?
I don't think they should break up the team, man. I mean, I like where the team is right now, and the chemistry is good. And let me ask you something. What's going on with the Malik Beasley? What's the deal with his situation?
There's no update. Unfortunately, there's no update.
Yeah, there's still an investigation into it, and until that.
I mean, this thing has been going on for a long time, and the federal government already said he didn't have anything to do with it.
Well,
and then what was his three-point average shooting percentage last year, too?
It was over 40%, if I'm not mistaken.
So that would take care of not drafting somebody.
That would take care of a lot of issues, but unfortunately, he has his issues, and he's not going to come to the NBA until those issues are resolved.
Yeah, the latest update, the NBA continues to investigate him.
That don't make no sense, man. It's been way too long. How long did it take for an investigation?
But here's the thing. If they've got evidence and they're sifting through the evidence, they want to make sure. So,
Irvin, I hear you. It is frustrating, and yet at the end of the day, I don't know how long an investigation like this is supposed to take, and I don't know why it's taking so long. Is there information that they are trying to get that they can't get?
But let me ask you this. The federal government said there was nothing there. Wouldn't that be a higher investigation with the federal government than with the NBA?
I don't know if the federal government said there was nothing there. I think the federal government said they were not going to, he was not the target of an investigation. But I have to go back and look at the wording because if I recall correctly, the wording didn't exactly clear him. It basically said that it's not going to go any further.
Check the wording on
here,
that.
While Beasley is mentioned earlier in federal inquiries involving other players, he has not been charged and is not currently a target of federal prosecution. That is the latest from Deadspin. Not being charged and not currently a target of federal prosecution doesn't mean that the league has cleared him. But
I don't know. How long has it been? It's been what, since September?
I don't know, but that's not a Pistons thing. That's an NBA thing.
Yeah. The league thing, I know, but I'm saying it's been, how many months is that? September, October, November, December. This is January. That's 4 months.
Well, a lot going on. A lot going on in the world.
Irvin, to be honest, I have no idea why. We have no idea why it's taking so long. None.
I think Pistons fans need to get over Malik Beasley. Like, seriously, zero buddy has signed him. Not even Europe, Tel Aviv, Asia. He's not signed by anybody. It's not just the Pistons that could use a three-point shooter, by the way. Everyone in the league could use a three-point shooter. Just move on, I think, at this point. Until we find out more news or whatever, I think Pistons men need to leave it alone. And by the way, the last time I saw Malik Beasley, he turned over the ball with a chance to tie the game against the Knicks. He had a terrible series, too. That's the last thing I remember about Malik Beasley.
Kang, you're kind of...
We have a first-place team.
I know, you're spitting fire over there. That sounded like it was personal and vindictive.
I'm kind of like, I guess I'm over the Beasley calls. Like, why are we calling about Beasley?
Yeah.
Because that's the easy button to go to know that that's a guy who wants to be in the Pistons.
He wants to be anywhere, I think.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's come out and said he really wants to be back with the Pistons. And remember, he said that was the only team he was going to sign with and all this. And
yeah, until that gets cleared up, it feels like it's a non-starter. Because as you point out, somebody would have signed him. Brian in Detroit, what's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Afternoon, whatever.
Hi, Brian.
Fellas, I'm asking all three of y'all, Kane, Gator, and Doug, are these Pistons right now good enough to win the championship?
I think they might be.
I think they're good enough to win the East. And I feel comfortable saying that. Are they good enough to win the championship? Well, I haven't played Oklahoma City yet.
I don't think they will beat Oklahoma. They can't beat Oklahoma City in the series. And I think the worst thing that could happen with all, just like OKC, all the draft pick and all the stuff that they have, what if they end up with Giannis? Then the party over for real. You would be a bit – this team, they can grow, get better.
Let's be clear on something, Brian. You might be right, but that doesn't mean they can't in the next few years, right?
Oklahoma is just as young as the Pistons are.
And they're champions. Yes, they are. But that doesn't mean the Pistons don't have as high a ceiling as Oklahoma City.
They don't.
Oh, well, they might.
Okay, well, we could disagree on that. But what I'm thinking is, fellas, you can't let OKC go add another great player. The team has already won the championship. Pistons are good. They're in first place. We talk about they play hard and the chemistry and all that. In the playoffs, everybody play hard.
Well, the thing is, what would Oklahoma City have to give up to get Giannis? Right?
They got 3,000 first-round picks.
Well, yeah, but first-round picks at the end of the first round don't matter. Yeah. First-round picks that are in the lottery, those matter. True. So, I mean, you'd have to talk about players, and they'd be in the same situation the Pistons would be. How much are you willing to give up, and is it too much when you disrupt what you have?
It makes even less sense for them, doesn't it?
I just think that OKC ceiling is a lot higher than the Pistons, and I just don't think the Pistons, just to compare them to OKC, is just foolishness. They're not good at the OKC, and if they have to run into them, with this Pistons team against that OKC team right now, they're not beating OKC.
Not in 2026, probably not. But that doesn't mean they can't do it in 2027, 2028, because the Pistons can get better with other moves.
Well, or they can get better just by another year experience for Jalen Duren. Do you think he's going to take another step towards superstardom? Do you think that Asar Thompson can take that jump to be a guy who's threatening to score 20 points every single night? That Ron Holland is one of those guys. I mean, that's where you're looking at that, the improvement there, let alone that you can sign free agents or you can still make trades that aren't going to totally disrupt your roster. But that being said, OKC's a better team right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing in a tougher conference and they're thriving in that tougher conference. But Pistons playing awfully well right now and gives everybody hope that this is a team that can be built to last because it is a young core.
Okay. And maybe one of the ways that they can level up, if you will, is reporting that's coming out today. Evan Sidery at Kalshi, which is a regulated exchange and prediction market that you can trade on outcomes of real world events. He covers the NBA, and he's not the only one reporting this, but he reported today via social media the Pistons are willing to discuss Jaden Ivey and potential framework during trade season. Ivey, an upcoming restricted free agent, is playing a career-low minutes in Detroit, is viewed as a team to monitor, or excuse me, Detroit is viewed as a team to monitor for Michael Porter Jr., who can offer the Nets Tobias Harris and Ivey. The Warriors and Pistons continue to be mentioned as strong favorites to trade for Michael Porter Jr., the Nets will be able to fetch at least a first-round pick and top prospect in any deal involving Porter. Porter's viewed as one of the best available wings in the marketplace. Then Jake Fisher reported, and this was linked on Hoops Hype, I think Michael Porter Jr. makes total sense for Detroit. I've not been told yet that Detroit is called on Michael Porter Jr., but I have been told that they have at least discussed him internally, and I think that makes a ton of sense because as good as the Pistons are leading the Eastern Conference wire to wire here, they do not have a bona fide second scorer behind Cade Cunningham, and Michael Porter Jr. could be that guy. He's not an Anthony Davis or Lauri Markkanen who's going to cost you an arm and a leg in years and draft capital and also be on the books for $50, $60 million moving forward. He's only at 38 right now. I don't think he's in a position to be commanding $50 or $60 million going forward. So, I mean, look, there are others reporting this, and I think this talk is starting to get serious. And that may you don't have to gut the core to get Michael Porter Jr., and you're talking about a 40% three-point shooter who's shooting 9 threes a game and is averaging 25 points a game. Maybe not as elite on the defensive end as some of what the Pistons are accustomed to, but to get a little, it might make them more balanced, and that could be the move. That could be the move that I think a lot of people would have no problem with because you don't have to gut your core.
Right.
And you know, could that one be really in the works here?
Look, I like Jaden Ivey a lot, but the Pistons aren't using him right now. And for whatever reason, maybe because he's not healthy enough to get back to playing 30 minutes a game. And if that's the case, okay. But they're doing fine with him coming off the bench and playing the role that he's playing right now. If you were to remove him but add Michael Porter Jr. to the mix and take away Tobias Harris too, I think that you're not gutting this team by doing that.
No.
Now, if it costs you another step, if it costs you, if the asking price then is Ron Holland or Asar Thompson to go with it, then you're going to have pause. But if it's those two players in draft capital, I think, I'll speak for myself, but yeah, I'll sign off on that.
Yeah, I probably would too. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. Giannis, Michael Porter Jr. Giannis may be a bit of a stretch, but let's face it, as it stands right now, things appear to have gone from bad to worse in Milwaukee. You got to at least investigate it, right? It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you remember last week I told you I've got something pending that I wasn't looking forward to?
I think so.
I told you either Thursday or Friday that Saturday we had an appointment.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
To go to a cell phone store, get some new phones, and change carriers. My experience is historically going to the cell phone store with any kind of activation of new phones or changing carriers. I think that's a quick way to burn hours. I don't think I've had one quick trip to a cell phone store. Kang used to manage a cell phone store. And you found this to be somewhat hard to believe.
Yeah, especially nowadays. Like nowadays, a lot of times activating phone, they'll let the customer do it at home. You just got to, you know, call a number or whatever. The phones put the next to each other. They swap information, whatever, transfers and
right. And
done. I don't know what your particular details on yours is. It sounds like it's a little more different.
Yeah, I mean, look, it involves, again, switching carriers and getting new phones.
While trying to keep the same number.
The switching the carrier part is a little different than just switching phones, for sure.
And so I had blocked off a good portion of time. Now, I want to state it had nothing to do with the individuals there working with us. Because you add in variables like, here come mom and dad, you got the kids, you get somebody that they can't remember a password, and you got to, you know, go... You need that password to be able to do it. You got to call the old provider and get their transfer pin and all this stuff. Saturday, it was 1 hour and 51 minutes, which felt like a win. But by Sunday, stuff needed to get addressed. Went back to the store on Sunday and was basically told you're going to have to come back Monday. So came back Monday. Monday was 2.5 hours. I think we're all set. There's one more pending move, and that is we had to send a new phone off to our kid. And it went as expected. And again, it had nothing to do with the effort of the people of the store because they're doing everything they can. I just find it to be excruciatingly long and boring, and I hate going to cell phone stores. I wish phones would never become obsolete. If you get one, you can use it. You know how to use it. No complaints, and eventually it becomes obsolete.
Do your I'm just curious about this. Do your parents want like the most up to date?
No, no, okay. And that was part of the issue.
So that's because you want they yeah. want to be for lack of a
yeah,
better term.
They're happy with like their iPhone simple. 6. You know, their first generation.
Before Tomlin became the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach.
Kind of, yeah, because they know how to use it. Yeah. And we got them free new ones, and this is part of it. You get free new ones, and they have them, and they're like, we hate these. And then, we're going to get the old ones reactivated. So some of it's on us, too. But
Yeah. Because when I got my mom a new phone last year, it was the same thing. Like, didn't want to confuse it too much. Just I want it's pretty basic, just a nice screen. She wants to be able to take pictures, play a couple games on the phone, text, but you know, have the ability to go on the internet, but all that internet stuff doesn't necessarily have to be there for.
Yep. But anytime there's even so much as a any kind of you need the upgrade or the system needs to be redone and you move to the next iOS or whatever it is, things on your phone change and suddenly you're like, wait, where do I hold on, I used to go right here for this. My thumb knows where to go, and now it's not there.
Yeah.
This app has changed. I mean, I had a software update for my laptop last night, and I'm dreading going home and turning on my computer and seeing what it looks like. Because it just... And I think sometimes they do stuff just to do it. You know what I mean? They're like, the engineers have come up with some new way to text, and I'm like, I don't need a new way to text. But anyway, I think we're all good now. I think it was only 3 trips, and I think it was only roughly 5.5 hours. And then, well, it was about 5 hours.
Total. A long time.
Yeah. Okay. Scott Anderson, the feedback's still coming in here on this Pistons talk. Personally, I don't think the Pistons will make a big move at the trade deadline because they're literally the number one seed in the East and can't mess it up. Well, are you saying they don't want to mess it up, or are you saying they can't possibly mess this up? Because we just went through a baseball season where we never said the Detroit Tigers are the best team in baseball. We never said they're the best team in the American League. We used the term, they're acting like it. But we were hoping that they were exactly that. But instead, they were just acting like it. And it turned out to be our fears. I don't know if our fears, but we were being somewhat, I would say, realistic about what they were. And at this point, I mean, the Pistons are, you know, with each passing day and week and month, it's looking more and more authentic. I think the one fear that I have, and caller Brian brought it up, and I think it's legitimate, and we've acknowledged it, is the Pistons are such a effort basketball team that what happens when everybody's giving that effort? What happens when veteran teams that aren't as concerned about home court and are just trying to get there, when they go full throttle, try hard? Do the Pistons' superpower, regular season superpower, get nullified in the postseason because everybody goes there? 248-539-9797. Next text from an unnamed texter. I would not make the Giannis trade. You would have to gut your team for an aging superstar that is starting to get hurt a lot. Nothing personal. I really like Giannis. That's actually from Will. My apologies. Kevin and Evan said, as much as I would love to have Giannis, I don't see the trade-off worth it, especially when we have JD playing as well as he is. Yeah, it'd be good to see him get back healthy tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, he hasn't played in a little bit here, but yeah, I like the direction where he's taken his game. You know, he's becoming a guy who can knock down a intermediate shot and makes free throws, and obviously anything around the rim, he's stuffing it.
Yeah, he's really been awesome to see develop here, and I guess we'll find out very soon if, you know, how good they can be when they get all their guys back, because they've amazingly overcome a lot of injuries and the depth guys have come through. ESPN did a story about who should be starters and who should be on the All-Star teams. And no surprise, Cade is listed as a should-be starter. The locks to be a reserve, Jalen Duren is listed as a reserve lock. And they write, while Duren might not have the same counting stars as some players behind him on the list, His two-man chemistry with Cunningham and his improvement as a defender have been massive to Detroit's rapid rise. The franchise deserves a second All-Star this season. Jalen Duren should be a lock, according to ESPN.
I think he has a real, real chance to be, because the league usually for All-Star games, they reward winning teams. You know, you could be a great player averaging 30 points a game, but if your team is in last place, you're probably not going to make the All-Star team. But if your team is in first place and you're a big part of that reason why, you're like, well, quote unquote, the second fiddle. Obviously, Cade's going to go. Yeah, I think Jalen Duren's got a real shot at the All-Star All-Star game this year.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Juan. You're next on 97.1. Hi, Juan.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Juan.
All right. I just want to talk about the Pistons. And actually, to be honest, when Michael Porter was talking about being traded with Denver last year, I was super anti, because I just feel like he didn't give enough effort for Denver. But this Michael Porter I see this year for Brooklyn, I don't know what got into him. Maybe he needed a new identity, but he's balling. So with that point, if you look at the Pistons' history, right, when they traded for Rasheed Wallace, they was like top of the Eastern Conference. When they traded for Mark McGwire back in the day, they was like one of the best records still in the East. And as soon as they made that not-so-huge trade, in my opinion, which was Mark McGwire and Rasheed, they was big because Rasheed was who he was and Mark McGwire led the league in scoring before. But as soon as they made those trades, them guys went and won a ring right after that. So, yeah, I would prefer Giannis, but I know he's going to cost so many different players, and that might mess up our chemistry. So I'm not too bad on the Michael Porter. If they can get Michael Porter for, like, Tobias and Jaden Ivey, that might not be bad. It could put us over the hump a little bit more.
I got to be honest, Juan. I find myself a little bit stunned that they could get Michael Porter for Tobias and Jaden Ivey, or Tobias and Ron Holland. I feel like that almost sounds too good to be true to me.
Yeah, that's true. But Brooklyn, and they gave up Cam Johnson, but they didn't give Denver a whole bunch for Michael Porter Jr. So maybe they go on a straight rebuild, which to me, honestly, they should do.
Well, they want to free up salary, too.
Yeah, exactly.
248-539-9797. Kay is next on 97.1. What's up, Kay?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Well, listen, I've followed Pistons my whole life. I love your show.
Thank you.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. These guys have chemistry. They love each other and playing together. I wouldn't trade for anybody, especially Giannis.
You wouldn't make the Michael Porter trade?
Nope. I would keep everybody where they're at. They're having a ball, and they love each other.
But do you think all that might be true, but is it good enough? Is it the best version of what this team could be?
Absolutely. They all believe in themselves, too. I wouldn't change a thing.
Interesting. Okay, Kay. Thank you. 248-539-9797. Got some NFL stuff we'll get to today at 12:02. Another edition of Fun with Vegas Odds at 12:30. And interesting, I want to talk about that letter that Sheila Ford Hamp set out yesterday. We'll get to that today at 12:50 on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Tucker, Scott Anderson, 97.1. So, one day after Mike McDaniel interviews for the offensive coordinator position of the Detroit Lions, he is listed as a 1-to-1 favorite to go to Cleveland as a head coach?
Yes, he's plus 100.
I was reading some stuff last night where there was sort of this feeling that he wasn't going to get a head coaching position this cycle. I feel like with the additional maybe surprises in the last week, like Baltimore and Pittsburgh, I don't know that there's a chance in hell he's not going to get a head coaching position this cycle. If I feel like it's highly, highly probable. I mean, hey, look, I love it if he didn't, but it feels to me like that's just probably not going to be in the cards.
I think McDaniel is going to be a head coach as well. But if he's not, then it absolutely opens the door.
Love what they've done to position themselves to be, you know, hey, didn't work out. But
right. And with Philadelphia getting rid of their offensive coordinator, well, that's an interesting job over there in Philly as well.
Yeah.
A team that has a better offensive line, has a superstar running back like the Lions do. They've got great receivers like the Lions do. It's a similar thing. Do you want to work with Jalen Hurts or do you want to work with Jared Goff if he doesn't get a head coaching gig?
Yeah, and the only thing with that is, Gators, you might be there for 1 year only, good or bad.
Well, yeah, because Philly's gone through five coordinators in 5 years.
Yeah, and then two of them good because they got head coaching jobs after, and two of them bad because they just were not good enough. So,
Detroit News did a story about who their OC could be, and they listed more than Mike McDaniel as far as candidates are concerned.
Well, they got an interview with somebody today.
Who are they talking to?
Mike Kafka.
Oh, the dude from the Giants.
Yeah, the interim coach for the Giants who was calling plays and called plays against the Lions, and the Lions win over the Giants in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I also find it interesting, the two candidates they've interviewed for the offensive coordinator job are from two teams. Were the Giants in town for the, was it Giants in joint practices with the Dolphins?
It was the Dolphins, wasn't the Colts? I don't remember.
I think it was the Colts. I forget who the other team was. Why might have been the Giants.
It might have been the Giants. Was it Chicane? Do you remember with the two teams that came in for joint practices, the Dolphins and Giants?
I do not remember.
I can't remember.
Well, sorry, they played them in the preseason.
Yeah,
right?
They played them during the regular season.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Late in the year, and it was
called up the Jameis Winston throwback pass on us.
Was it the Texans?
Maybe it was Texas. Yeah, I forget. Whatever. Strike that. But nonetheless, they obviously played each other in the regular season, and Lions did a great job offensively against the Giants, racking up all those yards, and that was a big Jahmyr Gibbs game, and that's when he had 219 on the ground. But the Giants, if I'm not mistaken, and they put up well over 400 yards in offense against the Lions.
Yeah, Jameis had a great game. The other names on the list, T. Martin is one of them, who would be coming from the Ravens, and I'm not sure. I would want somebody who worked with he was the quarterback coach with the Ravens. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't mean it can't be done, but is there any comps between what the Ravens are doing with Lamar and what the Lions would do with Goff? Does that make any sense?
No, I don't think it does.
Yeah. Jake Peets is the passing game coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. And He was 2 years with Nick Saban at Alabama as an analyst. And then he put in some years with the Rams and McVay. And I know you don't love McVay, but you know that's the tree that that Jared Goff fell off of. And what they've done this year offensively with Sam Darnold, not particularly a mobile quarterback, and you know where he's got that team, that's an interesting one that I think warrants further inspection. I'd be intrigued to see how far that gets. Do you have any thoughts on Peets?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
He was the guy with the quarterback coach with the passing game coordinator with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm not interested in quarterback coaches.
Not a passing game coordinator?
Yeah, no, I'm interested in offensive coordinators. Head coaches that didn't know how to call plays to be coordinators. I don't want to take a chance on who the next young stud is going to be. I want the guy who's done it. I want some experience.
Well, what he helped contribute to was one of the top scoring offenses in the NFL this year. Their passing game was top 10 in the NFL. But look, if he's never called plays before and you have no interest in him, that's fine. I'm not as opposed to it because it just feels to me like we know what this offense can do. I don't know that it takes a ton of experience there, but
look, all of this, you know, with my opinion on it, that's just what I want.
Peets is a wizard, dude.
It doesn't mean that I wouldn't go ahead and interview guys. Go ahead, interview everybody, right? But my guess is the one that I would want is going to be somebody who's got experience doing it. Now, when the Lions interview these guys, whoever they hire is going to be somebody that blows them away, or it's going to be somebody who they're like, they just start smiling and nodding at each other going, yep, this guy fits exactly what we're looking for. And I'll have no idea what that is because I'm not part of those interviews. But I'll guarantee that's exactly what they're going to say once they make a hire. Is it, you know, if it's Dan Campbell doing the talking in a press conference, yeah, Brad and I just, well, there was a moment during an interview, we just looked at each other and we're like, this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's our guy. He absolutely buys into what we're selling and what we want to do as a team. And it's a perfect fit for us. That's what they're going to say.
It's probably how it works. Sitting in those interviews and it just becomes obvious who that they want. Now, McDaniel, look, we can hope that there's a complete and total, you know, for some reason somebody like bails on him. And then there's, what about Stefanski? What about bringing in Kevin Stefanski to be your OC? The fired head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, I'm open to it. He's another guy that everybody says is a great offensive mind. Mm-hmm. And yet, I don't know if the Browns were ever thought of as being a great offensive team, but you know, things got derailed there when they gave up their entire future to get Deshaun Watson, and then he got hurt, and then they start scrambling. So then he's working with rookie quarterbacks and, you know, a 60-year veteran or whatever. So it was kind of difficult to gauge what he did there, but he is highly thought of. Again, bring him in, absolutely. And it would seem that that's a guy that, at least on paper, has an awful lot of cachet, has a resume that apparently people really like enough to give him another chance as a head coach. There are some people that think that the Browns are crazy not to hang on to him as head coach. So, yeah, look at that very seriously.
So, I like that because he's experienced. When he was the offensive coordinator in Minnesota 5 years ago, they had one of the top offenses in the NFL. That is something that you know, he had to like. There's your experience, Gator. That would be your guy with experience that could, you know, make a ton of sense. The name that I mentioned at the beginning of this whole thing was Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator with the Atlanta Falcons when Raheem Morris got let go. I've heard no rumors about him. let me do a quick Google search and see if he's interviewing anywhere, because that's a guy that has a ton of experience dating back to having worked in LA when Jared Goff was there. And I think that's an important part, is being able to know what you're getting, and, you know, a guy that knows what he's got in Goff, and Goff knows and trusts him, which I got. Just because they work together doesn't mean he knows and trusts him. Zach Robinson is interviewing with the Buccaneers as a possibility for their open offense coordinator spot. So there's that. Meantime, is there anybody from the – we haven't really looked at who might be left over from the gutted Pittsburgh Steelers staff, if it gets gutted, I guess.
Yeah, I thought I just saw that their offensive coordinator is Arthur Smith. He's interviewing for other jobs. So there's that.
There's an experienced guy.
Yeah, I mean, there are other guys that haven't been around for a couple of years, but you're like Mike McCarthy. Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
You know, if he doesn't get a head coaching job. I think there's a lot of names for offensive coordinator. And the Lions are getting ahead of it already, starting with their interview process. So, and I'm also curious to see what happens with the Lions, if anything, when the new head coaches get hired throughout the league. Because there are 9 head coach openings, which means there are 9 new staffs that are going to be assembled.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of these coaches going to try to, you know, pilfer off the Lions coaching tree and take one of their assistants and then elevate them to a coordinator position? Is that possible? Are we going to get ready to lose somebody?
I mean, they might. I don't really have a ton of those concerns because of the season that they just had. I mean, that might be a little bit narrow-minded and short-sighted, but let's face it. Everybody was looking at the Dan Campbell tree.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to last year when both coordinators got plucked, and then the coordinators started taking guys off the staff. They come back with a new staff this year and they don't exactly light the world on fire. I don't know how coveted a Lions assistant is right now.
Well, the offensive line coach was coveted enough last year to garner an interview for an offensive coordinator position with Seattle.
That's true.
So does he get another interview, or is he going to get plucked off the staff to become somebody's offensive coordinator?
So according to the ESPN reporter that covers the Tennessee Titans, at this hour, Mike McDaniel is in their facility. And they are talking with Mike McDaniel later. And this is from Teron Davenport, who covers the Titans for ESPN. The team will conduct a virtual interview with Steelers OC Arthur Smith later today. Smith was the OC for the Titans during their run to the AFC Championship game in 2019 and the AFC South title in 2020. I think Arthur Smith would be a fine hire.
So our old cohort, John Lund, who I used to do the morning show with back in 2006 and 2005, he works out west, and he had an updated best worst list of NFL head coaching jobs, mm-hmm. and he put them in order. Titans job he has is number two, and it's interesting why. You got a quarterback in place, the fourth overall pick, $97 million in cap space, among other things.
Well, that makes two of your radio partners, because remember when Kang did that question last week, what job would you want the most? For me, it was Tennessee for all of the resources. They got an extra draft pick. They got all the cap space. They got a star in the defensive line. They got a young quarterback in place that has a ton of promise. I like that job personally, but hey, man, there's a reason Vrabel wasn't there anymore, and you got to wonder if ownership gets in the way, but it's Carson Anderson. All right. With the surprising news that Tomlin was let go yesterday, it got us to thinking about something here in the office. We will get to that at 12:02 on 97.1.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.